It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Thursday morning, October 20th. I'm Steve Cole. Steve Beckley from Community on the Move, an ad hoc committee of the Glenwood Springs Chamber Resort Association, spoke at a campaign forum last week in favor of the tax measures 2H and 2I on the ballot in Glenwood Springs. Voters will be asked to approve the renewal of the current 1 cent sales tax and the city's ability to bond and build infrastructure projects. Funding for the Center for the Arts and Glenwood Springs Historical Society are included in the tax and subject to annual appropriations. No opponents of 2H or 2I participated in the forum. Here is Steve Beckley.
Hello, my name is Steve Beckley. I'm owner of Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park and Iron Mountain Hot Springs. And I'm here tonight speaking about ballot initiative 2H and 2I. On November 8th, Glenwood Springs voters will be asked to approve and renew a current 1 cent sales tax, as well as the city's ability to bond and build essential projects that will improve safety, traffic congestion, and make our community even a better place to live. A group of citizens called Community on the Move is championing the tax renewal. As co-chair of that group, I am coming today to urge you to vote yes on tax and bonding questions. These will be two separate questions in the ballot, and you must vote both on each of them, that this is important to get the projects built now. Some of the projects that are being built with this money, some will be improved safety and traffic congestion by constructing bridge and road improvements such as South Bridge, South Midland Avenue, and the 27th Street Sunlight Bridge. The construction of a river walk to include river access, parks, and infrastructure at the confluence of the Colorado River and the Roaring Fork River. Construction of the Gateway to Glenwood, which is infrastructure and improvements in streetscaping on 6th Street. In addition, this initiative allows for funding for the Center of the Arts and the Glenwood Historic Society are included with annual appropriations. Other worthwhile acquisitions and improvement projects that may come up in the future may be funded by this tax. Again, this is a renewal and not a new tax. All this will be done without tax increase, and 73% of the tax is paid by non-Glenwood residents. Surveyed voters showed support for extending the current tax for 30 years. Tax collection result in about $4 million annual tax. Because of the extremely low interest rate, we're allowed to bond and construct $53 million worth of new projects right now. We are collecting names of supporters of the tax and urge you to sign up and support or to request a yard sign by visiting www.voteyesonon2hand2i.com. There you will find answers to all your questions about the tax. We also have yard signs available. Please vote yes twice. 2H and 2I to keep our community on the move. Thank you for your time.
And thank you to KMTS Radio for sharing that audio with us. Speaking of KMTS, they're presenting a concert featuring two-time Grammy winner and country superstar Kathy Mattea at Ute Theater in Rifle on November 4th. She'll talk to Steve Skinner live on KDNK tomorrow morning at 8:30 during Mismanagement. The Carbondale Chamber of Commerce is partnering with Carbondale Arts and the Tourism Council to launch new visitor information kiosks around town, as well as an online version. News Director Gavin Dahl sat down with Carbondale Chamber Executive Director Andrea Stewart to learn more.
The Carbondale Chamber is made up of 480 members, 80, and our membership ranges from Aspen down to Grand Junction and everywhere in between. And we are very unique in that, like many nonprofits, we are small but mighty. I am our one full-time person in the chamber, and then we have two part-time staff. And, you know, we just really work to market and promote our Carbondale Chamber members. So it is membership-driven, and we just really provide that platform and being that larger voice for small business.
So you're partnering with Carbondale Arts and the Tourism Council to launch new visitor information kiosks around town. You really spearheaded this project, right? Tell us about it.
Sure. So it just came out of a vision that we'd had. The Carbondale Chamber relocated their office to the 3rd Street Center about 4.5 years ago. And as much as we would love a Main Street presence, we just didn't have the budget to have that. So we are now in the 3rd Street Center. We love it. It's a great place for us. And this just allows us to reach more people by having this virtual kiosk. And that way, you know, it's kind of our full-time volunteer, if you will.
So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. when the 3rd Street Center is open, people can come to the Tourism Visitor Center and check out this kiosk. But there are others as well.
There are. So we're installing one over at the launch pad. And it just worked out perfectly with timing because we had kind of conceptualized this idea of creating a virtual kiosk, and at the same time, the then CCAH, now Carbondale Arts, was mm-hmm. going through their first phase of the creative district and creating that creative inventory, and we're looking for a platform to provide information for that. So timing was right, and so yes, there will be one that's in the process of being installed at the launch pad, which is home to Carbondale Arts, as well as the Village Smithy restaurant, and then over time we hope to have different kiosks throughout town, throughout the creative district, as well as the hotel properties.
So in addition to the physical kiosks, you've also launched this new website with creative district's info, ideas for making Carbondale your base camp for adventure, and a business directory. Anyone can go on the web to find this at kiosk.carbondale.com. But then the idea is that people here physically, you know, say on Main Street, they walk into Village Smithy, they can use this kiosk for what exactly?
Yes. So this is really kind of this interface. So the web address that you just mentioned, it's more for people that they go and they actually touch and play with the kiosk at those three locations. And then if they wanted to continue their research further, when they get home, they can still have that same interface. And it's a really fun project. These three entities came together just to create this landing page, if you will, and it directs them specifically to those separate websites. So the creative industries, the whole inventory is on this creative district website. And then Carbondale.com just got a new facelift, and that is home to Carbondale Chamber, as well as the Tourism Council of Carbondale, which is an entity of the chamber. So those are kind of segmented out within the kiosk, but also on the website.
And you guys worked with Rainy Day Designs and Soper's Apps?
We did. So those are two local businesses that worked specifically with us on this kiosk project. And then Footsteps Marketing did the interface for the redesign of Carbondale.com.
So truly that spirit of collaboration with a local flair. Why is Carbondale's recognition from the state of Colorado as a creative district significant in your opinion?
It is so significant because I think it helps with business development, economic development. It really helps kind of bolster the current arts programs that we have in Carbondale, as well as bringing possibility to new programming and new additional arts. And it's so fun because I think it really brought to the forefront the importance of the arts community, and also, you know, a number of businesses that perhaps 10 years ago were not considered arts. And so now we have cultural and heritage, and we have, you know, traditional art as well as culinary, and it really brings that awareness. And then also people are really seeking out statewide tourism and also destinations that are creative districts. So I think it brings, you know, it helps with sales tax revenue and generating that, as well as the lodging tax.
Well, and it's interesting because the definition within the creative district is broad enough that, for example, one of the things I'm glad is in there is health and wellness, because you have people who do everything from massage therapy to acupuncture to yoga. And these kind of folks are absolutely a part of the creative energy of town, but maybe historically, like you said, haven't been thought of as an arts organization.
Right.
So it does kind of give a broader sense of how much cool local stuff is happening in Carbondale.
I agree completely. And just kind of opening those new ideas and doors to something that perhaps a few years ago was not brought to the forefront.
Andrea Stewart is executive director of the Carbondale Chamber of Commerce. The first kiosk is now up at the Tourism Visitor Center at the 3rd Street Center. Coming soon to the launch pad, the Village Smithy, and then next year, you said other creative district businesses and hotels.
You got it.
So I guess we'll see you this evening at the 3rd Street Center for the Mayoral Forum.
Yes, from 5:30 to 7.
Working together with the Soper Sun on this event, and we'll bring you that live here on KDNK. Andrea Stewart, Carbondale Chamber of Commerce, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
The Carbondale Chamber, Soper Sun Newspaper, and KDNK Radio are all hosting the three candidates for mayor of Carbondale, Katrina Byers, Ed Cortez, and Dan Richardson, tonight at the 3rd Street Center from 5:30 to 7. KDNK will bring you the event live on the radio if you can't attend in person. Colorado programs focused on preventative health care solutions instead of costly treatment are working, Eric Galatis reports.
Cutting-edge programs that work in Colorado show reversing inequities in health and well-being is possible, according to a new report commissioned by the Colorado Health Foundation. Colby Daly with the Build Healthy Places Network says efforts to overcome systemic barriers to health, such as poverty, lack of access to fresh produce, quality housing, and education, are making a strong case for investments in wellness over pharmaceuticals, dialysis clinics, and other treatments.
Those things are important and they shouldn't go away, but there's an opportunity here to invest in things that keep people healthy so that there isn't a need for all of the treatment, and there's a value to that.
She cites programs such as Pueblo Triple Aim, which has support from national projects Rethink Health and Invest Health that are helping communities establish priorities and then connect to social service agencies, nonprofits, and health providers to achieve those goals. Daly notes one of the biggest challenges is financing sustainable programs and says nonprofit banks can play a critical role alongside the foundation community, injecting what she calls impact capital. She adds healthy people also have a big impact on local economies.
They're able to be at work. They're able to be owning their own businesses. Health has a lot of economic implications when you start thinking about what we're actually paying for when somebody is not able to access the things that keep them healthy.
She says successful demonstration programs like the ones that work in Colorado can be replicated in more states and is hopeful the report makes a strong case for bigger investments in strategies that could help more Americans live in healthy communities. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.